Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, spiritual understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to continue our teaching on the subject, faith, our way of life. Once again, faith, our way of life. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. And it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Once again, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, we as believers, we are commanded to live our life by faith, not by sight, or things which are perceived by our natural senses. Those things which we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch in our everyday lives. We as humans are sensory perceptive beings. Everything we have learned have been a sense-based perspective. Things we can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And now, by the word of God, we are commanded by God's word to live our lives by faith and not by those sensory sources. So it's important that we understand faith, things that are not contacted by our senses. Now, please go to the book of Romans chapter 10. Again, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing is our conduit to faith. Hearing is our conduit to faith. Now please go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One more time. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now notice, the Bible in this verse did not say prayer or worship or even paying your tithes pleases God. No, it's faith that pleases him. We found out that faith requires action. You can't just sit around believing that something is going to happen. You have to be a doer of the word, and that requires action. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. Again, that's James, chapter 1, verse 22. And it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Once again, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So that tells me that we can deceive ourselves if we're not doers of the word. Faith and belief, although they have similar meanings, they are as different as day and night. But they must work together for the success in the believer's circumstances. In other words, just believing will not change your circumstances, but it is where you should start. You should start with belief. Once your belief is added to your faith, then the process of life-changing circumstances began. Amen. Your faith takes time to grow. Let me repeat that. I said your faith takes time to grow. And that growth depends on the person, the believer. God has given to each one of us the same amount of faith. He hasn't given you 90% and me 10%. If he did, he would be a respecter of person. And we know he is not that. Please go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And it says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, or the measure of faith. So we see here in this verse that God is telling us we should not think more highly of ourselves than we should. We should think highly, but just not more highly than we should. And then it says, for God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God, not being a respecter of people, has given each one of us the same amount of faith. Now, it is up to each individual to exercise that portion of faith and develop it to a degree of maturity and strength. And that takes time. and that takes time. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. And let's look at this in application. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 27 to 30. And it says, "Then Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.'" Verse 28. "And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, 'See that no one knows it.'" Now, let's look at these scriptures, because they're very interesting to me. It says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.'" Well, how can two blind men, if they cannot see, how are they going to follow Jesus? How's a blind man going to follow somebody that they can't see? They had to have someone guiding them or having their hands on someone's shoulder leading them to Jesus. Or they had to follow Jesus by hearing his voice speak as he spoke to the multitudes and followed his voice and his movement. But otherwise, how some blind men going to follow Jesus? And then the Bible says the two blind men cried out to Jesus, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, how did they know that Jesus could do the things that they were asking of him? They were blind. They couldn't see the things Jesus physically performed. So how did they know that Jesus could do these things? Now think with me for a moment. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So these two men probably heard about Jesus by the crowd that was speaking around them. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They had to hear people talking about Jesus and the things that he had done. And at that time, Jesus was saturated with the healing power they needed to receive their healing. So they heard the miraculous things that Jesus was doing throughout the region, healing people. The blind see, the lame walked, the mute talked. So they heard about Jesus. The two blind men said something. They said, by crying out to Jesus for mercy, they took action on their part. Now notice in verse 28, it says, "When Jesus came into the house, the blind men again took action and came to Jesus." The blind men came to Jesus. Here was blind men, they couldn't see, but they came to Jesus. They had to believe something by their actions. They did something. They came to Jesus asking for mercy. Then Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Now their response was quick. They said, "Yes." So actually they did something, or they said something. Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. They received what they believed for by acting on their faith. They receive their sight. Faith is acting on what you believe. Now, these two blind men heard about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And like I said, you just can't believe something because you would never change your circumstances by just believing. After they believed, they heard, and they believed what they heard about Jesus, then they put their belief into action. They went to Jesus and said, "Son of God, have mercy on us." And Jesus responded, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yes." And then Jesus touched their eyes, and their eyes were open. The two blind men had to have a revelation regarding that, but it would have never affected their circumstances if they had not acted on what they believed. If they had just sat by and listened and heard what people were saying about Jesus and never believed it and acted on what they believed, then their circumstances would have never changed. They would still be blind today. But they just didn't do that. They acted on what they believed, and that was the word of God. The change did not come until they acted on what they believed. They believed the word. They mixed their belief with their faith by coming to Jesus. They physically done something, and Jesus reacted and said, "Your faith has made you well." Amen. See, faith will produce results. Faith will produce results. Over time, faith will produce results. Don't get caught up in the jubilation and expectations of what faith can produce. See, I like to call it what I call living in the microwave society. People today want it right now. "My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me." But God doesn't work like that. Amen. God works according to your faith. So don't get caught up in the jubilations and expectations of what faith can produce. If you do not see immediate results, do not give up. Don't give up and say, "Oh, you know what? This God stuff don't work. I prayed yesterday and I haven't gotten what I prayed for." You have to stay with it. You see, when Dr. Michelle and I made up our minds that we were going to live our lives according to the word, because we weren't. We were not unbelieving Christians, but we weren't living the expectations of the word of God. And so when we decided that we were going to live our lives according to the word of God and to the best of our spiritual understanding, our circumstances did not change immediately. Now, I said that we're going to live it to the best of our spiritual understanding. That's why God tells us that you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your family, or anyone. No, you have to show yourself approved unto God. And so when we made a decision that we're going to live our lives according to the word and to the best of our spiritual understanding, because God is not going to hold you accountable for things that you don't know, but he will hold you accountable for the things that you do know. So when we decided that we're going to live our lives that way, well, we didn't stray from that, but we stayed with it. Even when the circumstances looked as though we were not having any success or anything was changing around our lives. But in fact, it looked as if it was getting worse. That's the plot of Satan, to attempt to deceive you, to believe that the word is not true. What he would do, you trying to be sincere in your walk with God, and God is not a man that he should lie. You know, what he says will come to pass. That's why it says, let God be true and every man be a lie. But we have to understand that it takes time for our faith to develop. Don't let Satan's plot, because you haven't gotten what you have prayed for or what you're believing for, has come to pass yet. It will come to pass. That's the plot of Satan, to attempt to deceive you into believing the word is not true. Remember, he attempted to deceive Jesus. Now, let's go with me to Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at this. So we have to understand, we have to stay with it. Dr. Michelle and I, we stayed with it, and our circumstances begin to slowly change. And hey, I can't tell you how wonderful a life we've been having so far, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's look and see how Satan tried to tempt Jesus the same way. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 1 through 11. And it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Well, you'd be hungry too if you were fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Matter of fact, you'd be hungry if you fast for 40 hours, not 40 days. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, now the tempter is another name for Satan. It says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now he asking Jesus, he says, if, trying to question Jesus' authority. He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Verse 4, but he answered and said, Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up on the holy city and set him on the pinnacles of the temple. And he said to him, here we go again, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse number 7. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, let me stop here for a minute, because our example is Jesus. So we need to see how Jesus is dealing with the tempter in this situation. You see, the first two times, Jesus didn't argue with him. He just says, it is written. It is written again. And so that's the way we deal with Satan. We say, hey, it is written. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is written. We fight the good fight of faith. And that's how we deal with Satan. We just speak the word to him. Amen. Okay, verse number 8. It says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, we see here that Satan tried to tempt Jesus. But Jesus was steadfast in his commitment and who he knew he was. He knew who he was, but Satan was trying to question him on his authority as being the Son of Man or the Son of God. Amen? So that's the way we have to be. We have to be steadfast in our commitment to the Word of God. Notice the devil came three times to Jesus, but Jesus did not give in to Satan's temptations, but stayed with the Word, saying, "It is written, death and life are in the power of the tongue." Amen. Death and life. The tempter is relentless, and he knows your weaknesses, and he continues to kill, steal, and destroy. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." So your faith will produce results. Do not give in just because you don't see it right away. Because if you stand steadfast, immovable, your circumstances will change. Well, I'm out of time, but join us next week. Until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.